everybody. Welcome back to the Great and Terrible AHS. I'm here with Miss Shadow Lovely and Slow Beef. Hey, team.
Hey, how's it going?
What's good? You hear about this guy? He's got two faces. Is that messed up or what? We're here
weird.
To talk about American Horror Story, where we're going to learn about Edward Mordrake. Part two, maybe the worst character ever written. It's kind of amazing. I hate Edward Mordrake. I'm gonna get that out there in advance. I hate this fool. I think he sucks.
And pleasant reminder from last time too, based on a real person. So a little bit of character assassination of a real person going on too.
Damn it! They keep doing it. I keep forgetting. I'm like, what do you mean Charles Manson's a real guy? I'm like, ah, son of a bitch.
Yeah, I mean, at least I would argue that it's less weird than them making the serial killer from Louisiana who played the saxophone.
Also, oh yeah,
a little bit of a pedophile. Like. I feel like that's a little bit worse. Like, at least Edward Mordrake's just like a weird, sad ghost who also is the devil? Question mark. Maybe a demon who takes people to hell? Question mark. At least that's like kind of cool. But yeah, no, he's a weird exposition ghost that his special magical power is that he checking notes gets people to tell them their sad backstory, and it has to be
he
sad.
He doesn't need them to.
Yeah,
he just knows. He already knows the truth. There's no real reason for him to ask. Like, if you lie to him, he just goes, "Oh, the demon face told me you're lying. Say the truth." And it's like, well, okay. So why not just ask the fucking demon face, huh?
Also,
yeah,
it's no good.
It feels just like, he also feels like a very lazy plot device to get, like, lore dumps out of all the characters, you know? Like, just, I got an idea. We can skip this whole fleshing things out and making people three-dimensional thing with a guy who forces you to tell them your backstory. Boom. You know, I don't know.
It's, like, extra ironic if you think about it, because, like, we've already talked about how, like, they're kind of dancing around, like, this, like, quote-unquote, like, underlying plot of, like, oh, the freaks just want to be people, too. But they're doing it in their stupid-ass, backwards American Horror Story way. Like, what's like, fucked up about it is you can tell, especially in this episode, and I guess, by extension, the last episode, since this is allegedly a part one and two for literally no reason at all, that, like, they did not want to give most of the quote-unquote freaks a backstory. So they're like, whatever, just have a ghost come in and ask them if they're sad or whatever, and then we'll give them a flashback for, like, 35 seconds.
Like, you can do this kind of multi-character flashback dump thing, but they need to be, like, related or intertwined in some way that makes them have, like, a running through line of interest. And it's not... This isn't that at all. Like, it's just a bunch of it. Like, legitimately, it's a weird guy in a top hat walks into a tent, listens to somebody, and goes, "Wow, what a weird story. Was that messed up or what? Here's another one."
It's like,
and then goes and walks to the next tent.
He's like, yeah. Tales from the Crypt guy, but like with no voice or special effects. Our next ghoulish tale. Oh, shut up, devil head. We'll get to it.
I think he's just
Rizzler's
bored.
Crypt keeper.
Yeah. Well, the special effects that they do give him are about that level of production, maybe less.
Stinky.
Yeah, stinky. So
stinky.
I think maybe
green gas.
Yeah, he's very stinky everywhere he goes, which is weird because I just want to reiterate, we've seen so many fucking ghosts in this show. So many fucking ghosts in this show. None of them have had stinky fart gas. None of them. Not a single one of them has had stinky green fart gas when they show up. Most of them just show
bad.
Up or just are there like a normal person always. But yeah.
It's like legit like a bad haunted house thing, you know what I mean? Like that, like, kind of effect.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. Is it looks like when you go into a new room in a haunted house and they've got like the LED lights on and then the fog machine kicks on and you're like, oh, okay, this is a new setting. I also want to just spitball just a kind of a temp check. How do we feel about the theory that I just came up with 35 seconds ago in my head, that they killed Meep off, specifically Meep, in the previous episodes so that they wouldn't
didn't have to do a Meep story.
So that they didn't have to figure out a story from Meep.
This is great. We can motivate Jimmy and we don't got to write shit for Meep. This is a great win-win all around, baby. Let's go.
I have a counter theory to that about Meep, which I don't know if we have time to get into, so I'll see if I have time, but it has to do with a movie I've brought up a couple of times. So maybe we'll bring that up later in the season even. But
but I think discussion.
Yes, if it wasn't for some meta stuff that I think they stole from a movie about Meep, I would totally be on board with you, you know? So anyway, we'll get there, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So it's time for Edward Mordrake to start rolling through and taking index. And I think he just immediately it just immediately is him rolling in on the woman with no legs and just immediately being like, hey, what's up? And she's a little freaked out. And then he just kind of like tosses her, which, yeah, rude.
Yeah,
man.
Right.
Why? Hey, come on.
Like, you're
like,
a
what
ghost,
the fuck?
Dude.
Like, he's also like a gentleman ghost for the most part. Like, he's got a nasty face, but it's hidden. That's the whole thing.
Yeah. Like, and also, isn't he supposed to be sort of in... maybe a weird word, like an advocate in a way for them, you know what I mean? Like, sort of like, I'm one of you and I have to judge you or whatever, but he's just sort of like, yeah, I'll just toss you over here like you're an object, that's fine. Like, you know, like, it's ridiculous.
I'm gonna use my physical strength to overpower someone that I clearly have a physical advantage over, even though I'm a ghost for some reason, just flexing on her, I guess.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, real fucked up. And the opening sequence hops around a lot. Like, it's, they're doing this thing. They love doing this with like so many scenes, and it, I think they think it's cool, but like what it ends up being is like mostly just disorienting and confusing, where they will have the same thing happening to like several people at the same time, but they will intercut the scenes of them happening, so they are constantly interrupting one another, and not in a way that like makes sense. In fact, they will try to make it make sense in the very beginning, because they'll have him talk to Susie, and he literally is like, so how did you end up at the freak show? And she goes, I committed a sin, which, first of all, we'll get into why that pisses me the fuck off and why it makes no
unbelievable.
Sense. And then it immediately jump cuts to Paul the Illustrated Seal being like, what's my sin? Well, and I'm like, well, no, he didn't ask what's your sin, and she wasn't responding. He asked, how did you get to the circus? And she said, I did a sin. So it makes no sense that Paul would pick
Edward
up the hat.
Mordrake,
yeah.
Edward Mordrake just thought it was tight. He was like, I'm going to ask him what his sin is next time, because that was kind of hard when she said that. I'm taking that line.
He was like, ooh, do you think like when Susie said it, the demon voice was like, well, write that down.
No, that's tight.
Shut up. Magic exact. We've got to ask people that from now on. It makes it sound so official. Yeah.
They can hear you. Be fired.
And so, like, that's the thing about the balancing between perspectives that makes it confusing, I think. It comes up pretty quickly here is you're getting flashbacks from a person's perspective of someone who knows way more than they would have been able to know. So it's not clear whose perspective it is after a while, because it's like, I guess we'll get into it, but yeah, like, we're going to have a Paul flashback where Paul like knows things explicitly of rooms he's not in.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also like the other problem is, since two of like the five characters that are about to be interviewed are having flashbacks simultaneously intercut, it's really hard to tell whose flashback it is. When we were watching Susie's, I kept expecting Paul to show up, and vice versa, and I'm like, oh, they must have like somehow found each other before the circus, and that their story is like connected somehow, that's why it's presented this way. No, they're just being like wildly confusing in the way that they have set up this opening sequence.
No, you're thinking of the beloved film Rashomon. This is American Horror Story. Not quite the same level of chops.
No,
yeah,
it's not.
Okay, so yeah, should we get into like Susie and Paul's story? Because like, Paul's is wild because he's just like, yeah, I was born like this, and I loved going and getting rough with the boys, but then whenever I'd get rough with the boys, I couldn't throw punches no good. God damn it. Like, that's kind of it.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's his sin, but even more infuriatingly, Susie, which, again, Susie offered up the information that she did a sin, so, like, that was her impetus for being there, is, like, she felt guilty because she had done a bad thing. And then when prompted to, like, explain what that is, she promptly says, oh, when I was born, the doctors cut off my legs, which, first of all, she is not missing her legs. It's not like Elsa, where her legs were amputated, like, at, like, the thigh or maybe the knee. I would...
It was like mid-torso.
Yeah, mid-torso. Right. Like, ribs are definitely missing. Like, there is a significant portion of her body missing. And it's a condition that you are typically born with. You aren't just, like, born and the doctors are like, you know what would be really funny is if we cut this one's legs off. Like, doctors aren't usually...
I assume they meant for, like, a medical condition, like the baby got a weird infection or something, but, like, I do like your idea.
She does not of them just say being like, that. She never...
We wanted to make a rad baby.
Yeah.
Well, I think it was implied, because it was doctors, but I do like yours now better. I'm just these doctors being like, we're gonna fuck this one up.
Well, she says, when I was born, the doctors cut my legs off, which you'd expect doctors to be there when a baby is born, not because it's, like, sick or anything. Yeah. Just doctors are usually there. And then she's like, and then they cut my legs off when I was born. Like, either that's something you know you're gonna do beforehand or not, which means you usually know why, which I think she would include if she knew that information.
Okay. So I think the problem here is we're trying to, like, apply logic to something that would never happen.
Yeah.
I'm just like, yeah. You would never be like, we gotta get them legs off now. We gotta get them bad boys off. No, you don't get to hold your kid. Those legs gotta go, baby.
Yeah, like, I did not do any, like, extensive research because it's, like, a 1 second line. But, like, yeah. I also don't think they're typically in the business of, like, amputating body parts off of babies.
No.
Like,
you don't usually do that.
It's usually not like you go into medicine, you know?
Yeah.
For quite the opposite reason, but...
Especially, like, old-timey medicine with babies, they're just like, I don't know, it'll probably grow out. It'll probably just, like, buff out eventually. That's what the plates grow together. Pff, it'll be fine. Kids are bouncy.
Yeah, they didn't, like...
It'll be okay.
Granted, he had some other stuff that he had to deal with as a baby, but, like, they didn't cut off Jimmy's hands when he was born. He was born in a field, I guess, so that's different, but...
Well, yeah.
And so that's not the end, because I know what you're thinking.
Thank God. If there were any doctors, they would have been like, give me them hands.
Hey, I'm cutting them hands off.
This is going to be a good one.
Give me.
Pranked.
She's not done explaining what her sin is, because I know a lot of you are probably like, well, that's not a sin. Well, don't worry. She'll explain what the sin is.
Don't worry. You're going to have that question a few times.
Yeah. So she gets her legs cut off by the doctor that, like, when she was born, and then her parents are like, this fucking sucks. I bet God's not real anymore. Let's just drop her off at, like, an orphanage or whatever. And then she does, or then they do that.
The end.
That's
Yay.
It. That's the end of the story. I again.
There are a myriad of people you can blame in this situation, and I feel like none of them are the baby. I feel like you really can't be putting the impetus on the baby for this one, dog. Like, you can say anyone else in this story is a sin, and I bet you can justify it, but, like, the baby. the baby.
I feel like Edward Mordrick would be like, let's just stop here. We got to talk about, do you know what a sin is? Do you know what the word means?
Which, I know what you're probably thinking is like, well, there's got to be more to this story. And there is, but, like, she wouldn't have given it unless he, like, prompted her to, because he's like, well, that's fucked up and sad. Is that it? Is that the end of the story? And then she's like, oh, no. Also, I stabbed a dude in the leg and he died because I didn't like that he had legs and I didn't. And I'm like, okay, well, that's kind of fucked up, but that feels like something you front load in the conversation.
Okay, I also have to mention that they frame it in the funniest way possible, and I feel so bad for this actress, because this shit's so demeaning, but, like, they have a bunch of shots of her, like, hanging out around a place, and someone will, like, run up next to her and just start doing, like, Lord of the Dance, like, clogging, like, right next to her, just, like, really showing off what them tootsies can do, just really schmooving, like, oh, I just thought I'd practice my tap dancing with my friends in a circle around you, hope you don't mind, and it's like... really outrageous. So when she goes to stab him, it's like, I mean, like, if they're tap dancing around you repeatedly just to be a dick, maybe stab him.
I'm with you on this one.
And she stabs him with, like, a comically tiny knife, like a really tiny knife, and just kind of, like, pops him and then scoots away. And then she's like, I guess I hit an artery or something because he died. And she says it in a way that's like, well, skill issue. Like, I don't have legs and I'm fine. So I don't know what that guy's fucking problem was. Sounds like a bitch to me. Maybe he should have just got his legs cut off. Like, I don't know. I don't know what his deal was. Later, it's really funny. We won't probably get there today, but, like, later there will be something that happens that really emphasizes that it truly was a skill issue on that guy's part, because, like, turns out it's pretty easy to survive when your legs get, like, taken off your body. This guy just sucked, I guess. Skill issue. Simultaneously, we have told all of Susie's story in order, because it makes more sense to do so in that way, and we're not trying to do a fun editing bit. But just know that Paul's story has been being told simultaneously to this one, intercut with similar flashbacks given the same filters.
You've seen this before. You've been annoyed by it when other things do it.
also, there is one scene that happens complete in this, which is Edward Mordrake walks up to Salt and Pepper.
Salty and Pepper, I know what you mean,
Yeah, and just walks up to him, and they're, like, dancing around, doing a little, you know, childish games thing or whatever, and he's just like, oh, nope, okay, not you, I'll leave, sorry, not gonna ask your backstory, don't want to deal with that.
Yeah, you need a certain minimum mental capacity to understand what I'm talking about and everything. Don't worry about that, you know, it won't come up, or anyway.
Yeah, you definitely don't have, like, you don't have to have a certain level of, like, competence or, like, emotional development in order to
talk to him. You know, I didn't even think about it. That is an oddly specific sniper rifle they set up in the past to later shoot themselves in the head. That's kind of crazy. Why did they feel the need to call out, like, oh, you have, lack of your mental faculty, so I won't send you to hell. That's cool. That definitely won't be relevant later.
I'm going to tell you, actually, I'll spoil why they did it, because it was really stupid of them, but Pepper, you know, she's in season two. We are going to get more of her backstory later, but because that's a quote unquote big reveal, it's not. I think they're saving it for, like, kind of its own thing, but they need an excuse for Edward Mordrake not to spoil that early. And rather than have him just not encounter her, they set up the sniper's rifle to shoot themselves in the foot head later. Yep.
The foot and the head, if we're being honest. Yeah, like, they're actually taking aim at both places. They should just cut their legs off, and then that wouldn't be a problem. Susie kind of has the
ready. And they would survive, probably.
Yeah.
Two out of three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah, and he's, like, kind of delighted when he sees Salty and Pepper. He's like, oh, you guys are delightful and adorable. It's okay. I'm not going to take you to hell. Bye. and he's, like, really nice to them and then leaves. I guess, like, the demon face also, like, respects this, because most of this is driven by the demon face.
I'm
allegedly
a demon, not a monster, come on. Yeah, they're just like some kids, basically. I'm not taking them to hell, come on.
So Paul the laminate, no, not laminated, illustrated. Laminated would be so much funnier. Paul the illustrated seal is like, here's my story, like what Ty already explained, is like, I like to roughhouse, but I have these arms that aren't very long, which is why I'm called the seal. And I don't like it that when they punch me, I can't punch them back. And Edward Mordrake is like, oh, okay, that's, like, not that big of a deal.
Also not a sin, so maybe, you know, everything.
Yeah, also not a sin.
We need to go some ground rules here. I have a little intro class we could take first, and yeah, anyway.
Yeah, and then Edward Mordrake's like, okay, so like, what's the deal with the tattoos then? Like, what's that about? And then Paul is like, well, I didn't like it when they called me Seal Boy, so I got tattoos all over my body and then started going by Paul the Illustrated Seal. And I'm like, okay, well, that seems a little counterproductive.
Bad yeah. planning on Paul's part. Like, again, not a sin. You're just being stupid. Like, it's just poor planning.
And then Edward Mordrake's like, oh, yeah, by the way, so I saw you got, like, you're, like, mostly covered in tattoos. You ever think about doing the face? Like, a very casual, like, performer-to-performer conversation, I might add. It's, like, a weird moment of candor.
Right.
Just like, yeah, just like, you ever think about doing the face, man? Because he's like, whatever, I'm not taking this guy. He's just an idiot. Like, he's just like, all right. Like, you ever think about doing the face? And he's like, no. I'm too beautiful. And Edward Mordrake is just like, all right, man, whatever.
He literally says something, like, I'm paraphrasing, like, a little bit, but not that much, to the extent of, can you imagine if my face had been on a normal body? I would have been too powerful and beautiful for this world. And it's like, all right, Paul, relax. You're fine. You look fine. Like, you're a fine-looking man. Relax.
Yeah.
Chill out a little.
And, like, you know, look, I know the actor is an adult. This is a little fucked up because it is directly applicable to that person. Like, in real life, I mean, you know, because it's like, they couldn't have written the script and then just luckily found this guy and be like, you're absolutely perfect for this guy, Paul the Laminated Seal, you know, or whatever. So they, like, obviously wrote it for him, and it's just kind of, like, odd, you know what I mean? Like, it's like
the way that you say that makes me think that, like, and you know what, it's the American Horror Story writer, so there's a chance that this is not that far from the truth, but that means at one point when they were writing this and discussing this, they had, like, something akin to the conversation of, well, we hired this guy, and he's, like, weirdly hot for someone who has, like, some deformities, right? Like, he's weirdly hot. Yeah. We should write that in. Like, that's so fucked up.
It is.
Yeah, they had to have had that opinion, to have written that opinion in, and then forced the actor to espouse having the opinion about himself. It's a weird thing to write someone to have feelings about their own face, I guess.
Yeah, like, real feelings about their own face. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
That's...
Yeah. It would, I would hate if I had to act in a show and they're like, all right, you have to go up and be like, and my plan would have worked if I wasn't so fucking ugly all the time. Like, it's like, well, I don't feel great about saying this. Do I have to?
Yeah, for a show that allegedly keeps trying to push the idea that, like, it's very, like, yeah, no, differently abled people are people, too, and if you don't think so, you're fucked up. For a show that's, like, trying to push that as its narrative, which, for what it's worth, is the only appropriate narrative to have in this kind of a setting. They sure are doing a really bad job of not making the audience feel like they're participating in the freak show in a negative way and contributing to the stigmas and ableism that are typically found in such a scenario or an environment, by basically being like, hey, does that guy look fucked up or what? And then being like, oh, you better not think that. That's what the bad people think. It's like, okay, well, you said it. I wasn't thinking it.
Spec Ops The Line wasn't trying to make a point. Yeah. It was just like, you have to participate in war crimes. Oh, I don't love this. Yeah, doesn't that feel... This is just like, what if you had to participate in war crimes? Oh, I hate this. Yeah, I bet you do. Point.
The only thing that makes me feel, like, okay about it is I'm pretty sure they're not, like, competent enough to have dealt with those feelings. They were just probably like, I bet this is what this guy thinks in real life. Let's write it down. And it's like, that's fucked up.
Like, yeah, he'll like it. We're saying that he's hot. He'll think it's good. Like, everyone always loves being complimented all the time, regardless of the context. I'm always saying this. Men in construction sites, always saying this when it comes to beautiful women. Context is literally never important when you're paying someone a compliment. It is always a positive.
What do they always say? Context is not a key. I think that's it. Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds right. I think we like briefly said maybe another episode, but like I feel like it bears repeating here that a lot of like the weirdness and them doing stuff like this and it feeling extra weird and gross could have been mitigated at least a little bit if they either fully committed to authentic casting or they did not authentically cast at all. And I'm not advocating for not authentically casting. I think it's great that these actors got a paycheck.
But the half in, half out thing just feels so weird.
The half in, half out thing is weird because they're like, oh, well, we're going to authentically cast some people, but we're also going to put like our cast that we use in every season in like prosthetics and CGI. Because then that makes it feel like they're showing us these other, like, differently abled people and being like, but look what we got. Does this look weird or what? Do you like looking at this? Like, this is real. Look what we got. And it's like, well, that makes it weird and gross. Like, it could have been, like, a good thing that you did. And instead, you've basically contributed to the thing you're saying is bad in the TV show.
This is what Dandy would do if he were a casting director. You know? Like,
yeah.
You kind of got it. Yeah, okay.
Oh, empathizing with the villains. I get it.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So Edward also is upset by this. He's also just like, well, this sucks. And goes. And then goes over to Elsa, who is still like mussing with her hair and makeup and whatever. And he walks in and she's like, oh, I'm glad you're here. But how dare you walk out during my song, you big jerk? I was going to talk to you afterwards. What do you need? And like she just is really fucking dumb and doesn't get that he's like a ghost man or something,
right.
I guess.
Yeah, she's like, so you're here to bang, aren't you? Right? You know, and it's like, I'm here for your hell story. And then she does a weird thing which I didn't get to because she's like, you want to take a seat? He's like, may I sit? And she's like, over there is better. Which like, I don't know why if you are gonna like, you know, get it on with somebody, you're like, why don't you sit to the left a little bit? Like that part's not totally clear, you know, like, but whatever, they do it so.
She makes like a whole speech about it too. She's like, you have to sit over there because of like, and then like a bunch of stuff. And like, I guess without spoiling too much of what we're about to talk about in like 2 minutes, but like, I guess maybe this is like maybe this is Jessica Lange trying to like allude to that her character is about to reveal something about herself. Like that part of her would have done that.
Maybe.
But that has to be Jessica Lange trying to get that across, not the writing. Because in the writing, in that element, doesn't just, it just doesn't make any sense. Like, why are you bossing this ghost around? What are you doing? And he's like, what are you doing? And then finally he's just like, can you just fucking sit down and tell me your goddamn story? And she's like, oh, you're that ghost, that fucking sucks. And
pulls her collar. Yeah.
Yeah. And he like summons all of the other ghosts that he's taken, so I guess that he just gets to do that, which kind of sucks. You have to go to hell and this dude can just summon you like a fate summon. Like that kind of blows. Also kind of a weird power to have, but he does it, and then the other ghosts like hold her down and she's like, well, I guess I gotta tell my story then, because you summoned other ghosts and I hate it. I think it sucks. So now we're at the opening sequence of the show. All of that to get here. It is actually, I know we've taken a long time talking about it, but it is also, like, unironically quite a long opening sequence. Longer than normal, I would say.
Yes.
All that to happen for, like...
And also just very front-loaded as far as the information in this episode, because there's going to be a lot of walking around and then a lot of me sighing disappointedly.
Yes.
Yeah, like, it's also, like, a little, like... going back to what we said at the very, very start of the episode, like, it's very much so like, well, we really don't want to give these characters backstory, but we don't have enough of an episode if we don't. So, like, two characters will get fully to get to talk to him and get, like, 15 minutes dedicated to their backstory. And then they crammed roughly five people's backstories, or lack thereof, in the opening sequence. Like, two people get, like, the actual show. And bits and pieces of it, even like multiple parts, and then like five characters like got roughly 25 seconds apiece. before the credits had even rolled, which feels, it feels like what we talked about earlier is pretty applicable. They just didn't really want to do anything for those characters. Alas, right. Yeah. The B plot's happening now.
So, yeah. So, we go to Jimmy and Maggie, who are just out on the road. They're coming back from whatever the fuck they were doing. What were they doing? I don't even remember why they left.
They were on the phone. Payphone.
They just need... Oh, right. The phone to call the other guy. Right. She wanted to go out to the phone box. Yeah. So... His bike runs out of gas because he's fucking stupid, I guess. Like, that's not, like, an unseeable problem. That pisses me off so bad that he's just like, what's a doodle? Like, it's a motorcycle, bro. It's got a gauge on it. Like, it tells you.
And he goes, I guess it's out of gas. Know. I guess it's out of gas. And then Maggie, like, has, like, an appropriate reaction of, like, what the fuck?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then he's like, yeah, it's fine. We just got to go in the woods. And she's like... I don't think so. I barely know you, and it's the woods, and this is weird. This is a weird situation.
Yeah, absolutely. It's shockingly like confident.
How are you
for a horse?
How are you surprised by your bike running out of gas? It's got a gauge.
Absolutely.
Yeah, like if I was in Maggie's shoes, like he could have regular hands. I don't give a fuck. I'm not going into the woods with you. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah,
your bike ran out of gas. Like, fuck you. You're gonna murder me in the woods.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm like a big dude. I wouldn't follow a guy into the woods if his bike allegedly ran out of gas. No shot. Like, I don't know how many guys are in those woods. I know about one, but I don't know about how many more. Those trees could be full of dudes.
And they, like, play it in a way that, like, where Jimmy's like, no, I'm a regular guy. You don't have to be afraid of my hands. And I'm like, I don't think that's why she's afraid.
That's not it, Jimmy.
Yeah.
And then finally she just, like, relents and is like, I guess the guy with the lobster hands won't kill me. It'll be fine. And then they go into the woods. Meanwhile, the other part of the B plot is happening back at Twisty's Fun Bus. Mike, who is the guy who was, and I would like to emphasize, kidnapped 1 hour ago, is freaking the fuck out. Bonnie, who has already tried to escape once, is like, hey, man, this is real fucked up. You gotta relax. And he's like, what happens? What is he gonna do to us? Is he gonna kill us? And then Bonnie's like, he comes in here. And he makes us watch him do stuff. And then Mike's like,
What kind of stuff? What kind of stuff do you want to make you watch?
Clown stuff.
Dun, dun, dun.
God, the delivery. Like Sarah Connor coming back from the future to save her son from the Terminators and just has no time for this shit. What a stupid question. Clown stuff. Next question. Come on.
It was one of those things where, like, because she takes such a dramatic pause when he's like, what kind of stuff? I'm like, in my mind, because I'm a shit poster, I'm like, clown stuff. And then, like, she...
Same! I was like, she's going to just say, like, clown stuff. And then it happens.
And then she says it, I'm like, holy shit, I know they wanted that to be, like, a hard, scary line, but that was the funniest fucking thing she could have said. It's so fucking funny. And then she's like, but he doesn't feed us. Also, can you untie my hands? They've been sitting there like for a while. Like, the both Dandy and Twisty have been gone for a bit.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like, hey, can you untie my hands is like the first thing you ask as soon as they're out of earshot. So you can start working on it. Instead of just chilling in the bus together, which is what they were doing up until right now when she asks him to do it. And then, like, the microsecond she gets her feet untied, Twisty comes back. And I'm like, damn, kind of seems like you should have started on this earlier. And then Twisty comes back to do exactly what Bonnie just said that he would do, which is clown stuff. He's setting up to do his clown stuff. He's, like, getting ready to do clown stuff. Good for him. And she's like, I know I only waited for my feet to be untied, and I didn't wait for the other two hostages to also get untied. I think now would be a great time to try and escape. And I'm like, he's made no effort to, like, murder you guys. So, like, you probably could, like, wait for him to leave again and then make sure everybody's untied. Yeah. Why do the worst escape attempt when he already knows you might do this? You did this last time.
This little lady just wants to fucking lay hands on this clown so bad. Like, that's all. She's just like, I want to hit the clown. Like, you could just go. No, I need to hurt him on the way out. If I don't get a big piece of wood and smack him, it doesn't count. I need a pallet stun or I don't level up.
I need that puffy nose to bleed. Yep.
Oh, my archives.
I got to step on them big shoes before I go.
Oh, I can relate. I can relate so much. So she body slams him and he starts honking. Not like a clown would honk, but like just kind of hollering.
If he did, I would have respected the show a little bit more.
I would have too. God, I would have too. If he had like a honk, like one of those like balloon
the
noses.
The clown horn.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and so she like books it. And again, doesn't try to help the other two at all. And also, like, this didn't work last time when she hit him with a plank full of nails. So I don't know why. And that was, like, again, like, a day ago. All of this has taken place over, like, a day and a half. And then she books it. And Jimmy and Maggie are in the woods, as previously mentioned. This is why they ran out of gas, is because they needed Jimmy and Maggie to be here. So they made Jimmy a fucking moron who can't read gas tank gauges, I suppose.
Flat tire is right there, you know?
The needle that goes from right to left.
Yeah.
Well, I know one of the sides says, I don't know, it's like a fork turned sideways. And then the other side's like the fork, but it's missing one of the tines.
The F is the freak, and I don't like my motorcycle calling me that, so we keep it on E.
E is for everybody's a person. F is for freak, and I don't like that much. But yeah, they see Bonnie hollering and screaming for help. And then they're like hiding in the woods watching this happen, and Twisty like fully spear tackles Bonnie.
Because yeah, ostensibly, the reason Jimmy and Maggie are sneaking around, by the way, is so they don't get caught by curfew, because the police have already kind of given them guff once, so they don't want to be taken in. Upon seeing this, though, Jimmy's like, well, I gotta do something. And Maggie's like, that's stupid. You don't need to do something. And he goes, I need to do something. And he runs in.
He's like, I can fight that giant murder clown. Because he says, when she's like, what is that? Because I assume, the show doesn't fucking explain this. I am just assuming, because I'm a person with common sense, I guess, and maybe applying too much of that to this television show, that when Maggie asks, what is that? She's asking Jimmy, because that's a fucking clown, and Jimmy, like, lives and works at a circus, so maybe Jimmy knows. But all Jimmy responds with is, nothing good. And then it's like, I'm going after it.
God, men always be answering like that. There's nothing good.
Yeah, doesn't like explain. Isn't like, wait, no, that's not one of ours. He's just like, yeah, it's nothing good. I'm going after her.
Adventure hero suddenly.
Yeah. And then she's like, well, I guess I'm following you, because I'm not staying in the woods where there are murder clowns about. I guess I will follow you. Back at the circus with the A-plot, Elsa is trying to bang the ghost, and the ghost is like, I can't get horny, I'm a ghost! And it's, like, weirdly, like, aggressive about it. And then she's like, oh, okay, well, would you like to hear my backstory?
It's this weird thing where it feels like Edward is under the pressure of the contract as well as being the person who enforces the contract. It's bizarre. He's like, I have to get somebody and leave, or I'm going to be in so much trouble. With who? So much trouble. But with who, Edward? So much trouble. I have to get someone and I have to go. I can't be horny right now.
I mean, that, I have to say, as someone with like an anxiety disorder, that's incredibly based. That's how I feel all the time. But Liz, who are you going to be in trouble with? Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Oh, we got to be early.
I'm going to be in trouble.
Oh my God, is that what that is? Yeah. Oh, okay. I got to Google some stuff after this. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Great and Terrible AHS Podcast.
Yeah, he's real like on edge. Like, and it's like, it's not even like we've set forth rules that like if the sun comes up, he disappears. So like, it's not even like he has like all night and he has to get it before sunrise. It's not like Murder House. So he's just like, no.
Yeah, the impetus isn't on Edward to perform here.
He's sick of it. He's so fucking sick of it. And Elsa's like, well, it's backstory time. We're not even going to be able to do her whole backstory today because it's so batshit fucking insane. But we'll start with like the basics. The part that she starts with, because when she says, do you want to hear my backstory? What she specifically says is, do you want to know about Marlena? In case you're wondering, we will not find out about Marlena.
Never comes up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She leads with this. Right. And then, much like Edward Mordrake, we, the audience, will not ever find out what the fuck she's talking about. Because then she immediately goes into her insane backstory. So it's like 1932. Everything is black and white. The first thing we see, it hard cuts to someone getting their back blown the fuck out. Like the insane back shots with a dude in the back of the room whipping a wall. I went through this frame by frame to see all the shit that's happening because it's so much. Like, there's just a dude back there whipping a wall, and I'm like, listen, I'm not gonna yuck your yum.
It was Castlevania. Everyone was looking for food everywhere.
I was getting them chickens, big boy.
So like, a lady getting her back blown the fuck out on full display. A dude whipping a wall. Then it pans very quickly over like a middle room, like we're going through a brothel basically from like a side perspective. And then like in the middle is just two men kissing. So there's going to be all this insane shit and then two men kissing. And I'm like, that's a weird thing to include given the rest of all the other stuff. And I have to remind myself sometimes that like the producers of this show, or at least one of them, is gay, because like so much homophobic shit makes it into this show that you're like, wow, how are they getting away with this? And then I'm like, well, I assume it's because the like the creators are gay and so like it's allowed, I guess, but like it's like weird how much they have in their shows. And from what I understand, it gets worse in like more recent seasons. So it's not like they are easing up on it. No. But I was like, weird thing to include in there. I mean, granted, it's like 1930. So like, I guess that at the time it was like weirder to people.
Specifically, what really matters in the framing here is it's between World War One and Two, and they're laying the claim here that, due to everyone's frustration with the economic stressors and whatnot that led to, you know, the rise of Hitler in World War II, this, that, the other, that everybody was funneling it into being horny and perverted all the time. So she was like, hell yeah, brother, I was the best dominatrix there was. Also, it was like super cheap, which I guess is good for me, even though I'm the dominatrix in this situation. Best blowjob of your life for a nickel. It was, everyone was banging all higgledy piggledy. I guess that means my services are needed. It's kind of unclear how this would benefit my market.
Yeah.
Either way.
Yeah. We see all of the brothel, including a lady pissing into a cup while a dude jerks his penis in the corner. And, like, when it gets to her, it's like, well, you seem to be, like, kind of separated from this establishment. Like, you've got your own, like, little deal going on. She refers to it as sexual chaos. Because she also, like, lists off, when it gets to her room, she lists off a bunch of stuff that people were doing. And, like, it's almost all exclusively fetish stuff. And then she walks into her, like, private room, I guess, that she does her own thing in. And a dude is waiting for her, who I think is supposed to be a soldier, because he's got a hat on.
Yeah, it's supposed to be like a Nazi officer, or like an upcoming Nazi officer, yeah.
And he's like, she starts picking up different implements, and he goes, no, to like all of them. I'm not going to do a German accent, but that's, he says no to like all of them. And until she finally lands on one, I'm like, I don't think this guy knows how a dominatrix works, because you don't usually tell the dominatrix what to do.
I love being in the driver's seat when I'm with my dominatrix. I love to not be dominated, actually. I do the dominating still throughout that part as well. Yeah.
I have a coupon to not be dominated. Like, oh, no, that coupon's not to be. Oh, all right. Yeah, I guess we'll do something else.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it makes sense that he's decided he's going to be in the driver's seat for this one, because when we find out the things she does as a dominatrix, they're like not good. She's not good at this job. Because, yeah, okay, yeah, your note puts it pretty well. Yeah, she specializes in just fucking getting people hurt, because, like, after they go through this, she walks him over to, like, a toilet with a bunch of just, like, nails on the lid, like, pointed up. Like a bed of nails, but it's just like a handful of them and they're rusty and all of that. And she's just like, okay, sit on it. And I'm like, this is the least sexy version of like Fonzie from Happy Days I've ever seen. I want you to take this toilet seat in the middle of Nearest Field and go sit on it. Like, what are you doing, man?
I like to imagine that, like, there's a scene we don't see of, like, Elsa doing her little DIY arts and crafts of, like, meticulously gluing each like misshapen nail to the toilet seat. Like, they're gonna fucking love this one. This one's gonna sell out the bleachers. And then just waiting to see what this dude's response was, which he's like into it, I guess. He doesn't like seem super enthused about it, but he like does it, and he's like, ouchie, my butthole, I hope I don't get tetanus. I'm not even sure if we knew what tetanus was at that point, honestly. And then like she goes, and also they were the watchers, the ones who came to watch. And I'm like, well, that's like a different thing. That's a different fetish. Like, the voyeurism is like a different thing. But like she felt the need to say that to explain what will happen in the second part of her backstory, which is a far more insane version of this.
Also, it's like a whole gallery of voyeurs, which I think is like against most of the voyeurs. Is it supposed to be like the unawareness is like part of it?
Yeah,
like,
right?
Like part of the deal, at least for most of them, right? So if it's like a gallery of 20, you gotta assume at least one of them's like, well, I didn't really plan on like sitting and hanging out and eating popcorn with the boys.
Yeah.
I was gonna purr from like with binoculars from the next hotel over.
You have a thing I can hide behind? Like, your coupon doesn't cover that. Like, damn it. These things are
God
trash.
Damn it. I fucking hate Groupon.
Ooh, verdammt. Verdammt, Elsa.
And yeah, so just really messing up every step of the BDSM process here. Mm-hmm. Like, just every step of the way, like hurting the clientele, wrong persons taking charge, not understanding what voyeurs are really doing, what voyeurism is. Also, they just apparently just started filming at some point. Elsa's letting a lot of people take the driver's seat for being a dom. That's all I got. That's like my big thing here.
Yeah, in her act like that. And she also makes sure to like, I don't know why, but she makes sure to like tell Edward Mordrake, but I never let them put their dick in me. I only made them sit on rusty nails. That's not part of the deal. And I'm like, oh, okay, like, relax.
It's actually more normal to let them put their dick in you. Yeah. If you didn't know.
Yeah, like, you already said you were like a prostitute, basically. So like, he's like, I'm pro sex work. I don't know what you're like. You don't have to explain it to me. And then she's like, and that's the end of the story, is that I was a dominatrix. And that was it. And people watched sometimes. And he's like, oh, well, that doesn't make any sense. And also, like, what about like your legs and Marlena? You mentioned a Marlena, like, what was that about? Is there not more to the story? And she's like, no, that's the end of the story. And I'm like, you are the one who brought it up in the first place.
Yeah.
Why are you gaslighting Edward Mordrake?
Wait, Which also feels like it falls apart after Edward Mordrake has already displayed that he can just, okay, gang, hold her down. that's a thing he's very capable of just summoning a pile.
And kind of reading minds, but not really. They don't want you to ask too many questions about that. We'll get to that eventually.
He's got that guy who, like, was a scam artist with a polygraph test who would just, like, show up on random YouTube videos and just sit in the background looking very serious and, like, give a thumbs up rant at random times.
Like, so you're full of shit. That's, like, the extent of his mind reading was, like, you're full of it. Give me the real. Give me the deets. Come on now. You know, which, whatever.
Which, like, at that point, if you're going to try and, like, hide shit from Edward Mordrake for some reason, like, why wouldn't you just make up a whole new bullshit story? Like, wouldn't you just, like, lie?
Yeah.
Totally? Instead of just not telling the whole thing? Like, why are you, like, suspending the truth from Edward Mordrake?
The downside is they drag you to hell, so you might want to, like, try and, you know, like, come up with, like, here's a sin that's not too bad. I stole a thing? And it's like, you know. But
he's not even, like, grading them on sins they did. It doesn't matter if they did something bad or not. Like, that's why the sin thing is so weird. It's not a morality thing. He's not going to judge her for being a sex worker.
Right.
In fact, I would go as far as to say the grading is so goddamn loosey-goosey that even if they did decide they were going to take somebody to hell, they might just walk away and pick someone else. Because who gives a fuck? How's the grading system work? It makes no sense.
Yeah, there's not even.
It wouldn't shock me at all.
Like, not to spoil it, but there's not even, like, a final decision. There's, like, a bit of a stop the presses. Who is that? And, like.
Hubba hubba ding ding. Who's that clown with a fat ass? Like, absolutely. Edward Mordrake seeing the Clussy walk by being like, damn.
He's like, I smell someone that's got a sadder backstory than you. I have to go.
Is that a clown horn in your soul, or are you just sitting in really bad?
Well, that's enough about Elsa. Yeah. It's back to Jimmy.
For 10 seconds.
Yeah, it's back to Jimmy and Maggie, who are like stalking Twisty the Clown, which I guess good for them that they were able to keep up with him in the dark in the woods. And then Jimmy, they like get to the back of the bus and they see Mike, which again, I would like to remind everyone, is the like preteen / teenager who was kidnapped an hour ago, because it is still the same night. It is still a Halloween night. And that kid literally just fucking got here. And then Jimmy says, those are the missing kids, after the only person in the shot is Mike. So either Jimmy watched Mike get abducted, or he's just really fucking stupid. Because, like, that nobody knows that guy is kidnapped yet. So, like, Jimmy wouldn't know that was, like, one of the missing kids, quote unquote. Because, like, that's just
he has
a kid.
Innate sense of heroism. He's just like, that's a child in distress. I can feel it.
That's got to be one of the ones they've been talking about on the news. That one specifically. And he says it like, oh, that's the people that we know are missing. That child who was the little one who's sleeping, and then Bonnie who keeps trying to escape. Like, it's them. But, like, they don't show them, so it doesn't make any sense. And then somehow Dandy just, I guess, like, had a radar trap up or something, because he knows where they are. And just, like,
nothing personnel, kids! And he just pops up behind him and hits him with, like, a pin or something. It's really dumb.
Yeah.
This is the second time where two people have gotten knocked the fuck out in, like, rapid succession. Like, I feel like if I'm, like, standing next to someone, like, I'm standing next to one of you guys, and you go the fuck to sleep, my immediate reaction is to jump the fuck away and start scrambling away as quickly as possible so I can assess what the fuck's happening.
I was gonna say, yeah. I'm thinking from the perspective of, like, Dandy or Clown. Like, if I'm swinging an object hard enough at someone's head to be sure I'm going to knock them out, that's already, like, a pretty high risk of I might kill them on accident. But if it's two people and I'm trying to knock them both out at the same time, look, the person who gets hit first has, like, maybe a 30% chance of making it out of this. Like, I'm swinging for the fences. It's not a gentle tap. Like, so, yeah, just not like... People get not, like, I know that's a fiction thing, but it's really dumb when you have two people standing next to each other. And it's like a regular man who knocks them out. It's not the magic power clown. It's just Dandy.
Yeah, right. And to be like, bonk, bonk, and both people go down like a whack-a-mole game. Like, clearly, because that's the other thing. It's like you said, media does it all the time. Movies do it all the time. Like, unfortunately, American Horror Story cannot hold the only L here. Like, a lot of TV shows and movies do it. But, like, A... The line between, like Ty said, the line between knocked unconscious and dead, surprisingly thin when it comes to head trauma.
Yeah.
Like, not controllably thin, you'd find. Also, like, the place you get hit that knocks you out is, like, usually not what most people expect.
The jaw.
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's like the top of the jaw where the bones meet, so the button. Yeah.
Yeah, and like, or like sometimes,
like a little nerve cluster.
Sometimes the temple, sometimes under the chin, like.
Yeah, that's really dangerous. Yeah. If you're knocked out by getting hit in the temple, that's really fucking bad. Yeah.
But it's like, okay, so like for, I guess, the sake of fiction, a bonk on the head knocks you out. But like, the other thing is like, if you're unconscious for like a really long time, like more than roughly like 10 seconds, bad. Things have gone horrendously wrong, actually. And you need medical attention. But like every show and movie, including this one, will treat it like, no, it's okay if you're unconscious for like an hour or more, a day even. Yeah, it's fine. What do you mean you're not supposed to go to sleep when you have a concussion? Why? yeah.
It's just brutal thinking about like times that I had someone drop like an entire CRT TV on top of my head. Like I got slammed into a stand that had a TV on it and it fell directly on top of my head. Didn't go unconscious, hurt like a motherfucker. Like, it's just almost like, damn, if a gentle bonk did it, life would be so hard for humans. I don't know if we would have made it.
It's one of, yeah,
we gotten very far.
It's one of those things you accept in media, but in real life, like going unconscious is kind of serious. Like, it's a big deal. Like, you know what I mean? Like, getting knocked out is like, well, my brain's not getting oxygen as like it did, and I had to like kind of, you know what I mean? Like, it's bad.
I almost wish instead, because like it's already magical to have Dandy knock two people out instantly. Why not just have Dandy walk out up and be like clown teleport, and then they're just in the bus.
Oh,
like,
I thought
just hard cut.
You were gonna say have him walk up behind them and like bonk their heads together to knock them out, which would have been way funnier.
Okay, no. Yours is way better.
Yeah, it is.
Bonks their heads together and then goes clown teleport and it just hard cuts to them being in the bus.
That would be good, actually, yes.
I would respect Dandy a lot more if that's what would have happened. that was part one of Elsa's story. We literally do not have enough hours in the day to talk about part two. So that's why we've broken this episode into two parts, because the second half of this... insane. Elsa gets two full backstories, essentially, and the second one is somehow more insane than Dominatrix who glues rusty nails to toilet seats.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, like, we have to ruin Twisty. Luckily, there's a pretty easy shorthand for what they did to Twisty, because they just made him another character from another piece of media.
Yep. Yes.
Great. Great.
Yep.
In case you're wondering, was it like a cool, strong part of media that they decided to make him a character of? No. Is it pathetic? You bet.
Yeah.
That's what. Yep. Uh huh. Yes. That's what they decided to go there. Great. 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 So the only scary thing about this season, huh? Like the only thing that's even ostensibly horror?
I'll even say like easily the best monster maybe in the series, you know? Like certainly more than Plastic Man, certainly more than, you know, the Addiction Demon, we'll see. You know, but
Alex.
Yeah, Twisty, I think but Twisty I think is excellent design. We'll get into it next time, but like, yeah, they did Twisty pretty dirty.
I think they even realized how much, like, how, because that's the thing is, like, not to, like, jerk off big corporations and production companies or whatever, but a lot of times when there is a character that is, like, that, like, striking or, like, gets that much positive reception, a lot of times it's either A, because a lot of people realized it was marketable and they could sell merchandise, And you can kind of tell they realized that they fucked up with Twisty because, like, they try to bring him back in other seasons. Like, remember Twisty the Clown? Remember how cool that was?
Yeah. He's a comic book character in 7, and then...
Yeah. I think they mentioned him in Stories, too. Oh, well, he's definitely
in Game Over.
He's in Game Over.
Yeah.
But they're like, remember how cool that guy was?
Yeah.
And they know that one, and then, like, the Rubber Man, which is an iconic, like, the season one, like, everybody can recognize. That's
right.
The American Horror Story guy.
It's just a gimp suit.
Yeah.
You didn't make a guy. That's just a gimp suit. You didn't design a new character. You can't just hold up a picture of Pikachu and be like, this is Electro Mouse. We made him.
And then, dude, do you want to know who Electro Mouse really is? And then it's like, it's this guy. Like, no, what?
It's several people, actually. It's never actually just one guy. It's like a bunch of people, it turns out. Also, we're going to pretend that's not real.
It was Brock, anyway. So.
Yeah. So get ready to feel weird and sad about Twisty next week.
Yep.
Yeah, and also confused about what Elsa did or how she ended up in the situation she did. Because really, truly, it goes from she was a high-class sex worker to the worst situation imaginable.
Yes.
How did it fall this far this fast? It is unclear. You won't learn, but I hope you'll listen anyway. Catch you next time,
later.
Everyone.
Bye.
Have a good night.